Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. A 47-year-old North Carolina man who's battling aggressive cancer recently got the surprise of a lifetime, thrilling, life-altering news. He learned he has two biological children who've been searching for him. The man has Massachusetts ties, and he's a longtime friend of WBUR's Lynn Joliker. She brings us the story.
When my dear friend Sean Bunn found out early this year that he has two grown biological daughters, his immediate thought was, maybe this is why I'm still alive.
This feels to me like an absolute wonderful gift.
You see, Sean has been sick, very sick. Doctors initially thought he wouldn't make it through last year, but he's very much here, and now I'm sitting with him in his living room in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's the night before he's going to meet one of his daughters for the first time.
I cannot wait. I honestly know I'm going to have trouble sleeping tonight.
Sean always wanted to marry and have kids, but it didn't happen. He donated sperm at a fertility clinic at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, when he was a student there in the late 1980s and early 90s. His daughters he just learned about are half-sisters, and they'd been hoping for years to find him, the man who gave them half of their DNA.
I'm wondering, what do you wear when you go to meet your biological dad?
26-year-old Nicole, or Nikki, Elsie, is the one flying to meet Sean. She's packing her bag at home in California.
What do you wear when you have been looking for someone for 16 years and it's finally happening? And I'm excited and I'm a bundle of nerves and, so happy.
Her half-sister, Sean's other biological daughter, Kelly Best, lives in North Carolina, just 45 minutes from Sean.
When I found Sean, it felt like this big gaping hole inside of me could finally be filled and closed because I had a lot of love to give this person that I knew existed. And it was like radiating out of me with nowhere to go, just bouncing off the walls of the inside of my heart.
It's just incredible. I have a new family. And how great is that?
The next morning at Raleigh-Durham Airport, Nikki's flight has landed. The ride here with Sean and his parents was full of excited energy. He and I are both feeling it.
I got butterflies.
I'm nervous. These girls are so smart. So amazing.
They did a lot of detective work to find you.
Just amazing work. And I have no idea how they managed that, but it's awesome that they did.
Sean says he thinks life has a way of giving you just what you need.
I think that might be her.
At exactly the right time.
That's her. Yes.
Woohoo. Come here, you.
How are you?
Great to see you.
I can't believe I'm here.
This is fantastic. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me. Mwah.
In between hugs, it quickly becomes clear the pictures and FaceTime calls didn't lie. Sean and Nikki look like father and daughter, and Sean's mother, Marion Bunn, like the grandmother, as Sean's dad points out.
My God, Marion, you guys look just alike.
Especially
with
happy.
You know, your glasses.
She's good looking, isn't
yeah.
she?
Oh, thank you. I got good jeans.
Sean has lived in North Carolina for almost 30 years, but he lived in Maine and Duxbury growing up. He and I met in 1987 as freshmen at Boston University, and we became fast friends. It was easy with such a gregarious guy who wears his heart on his sleeve. Sophomore year, Sean transferred to UNC. He says he donated sperm several times while he was there and took part in fertility research at the university. He says he saw it as a way to make a difference for people who were struggling to have kids.
If there are things where I'm in a good spot to help somebody do this, well, then I'd be stupid not to try and help.
And if you know Sean, you know it isn't a stretch that he was actually thinking about that. Sean is always doing things for other people. For the past 20 years or so, it seemed he was always organizing a fundraiser or other effort to help someone with cancer. Sean's a rabid Red Sox fan. In fact, he was the governor of Red Sox Nation for North Carolina until he got sick. He founded a Red Sox fan group that raises thousands of dollars for the Jimmy Fund, which supports the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. This is all why it was especially shocking to find out in September of 2015 that Sean himself had brain cancer, the worst form of brain cancer. Doctors at Duke said it was one of the biggest glioblastomas they had ever seen. They did a 10-hour surgery to remove what they could, started radiation and chemotherapy, and then predicted he'd live about 6 months or maybe a year. He's beaten that prognosis soundly.
It is so nice to see you.
It's good to be here.
Back at Sean's apartment after getting Nikki at the airport, his other newly discovered daughter, 24-year-old Kelly Best, arrives. She looks like Sean, too, with dark hair, big eyes, and a round face. Oh, and what are the chances of this? She's a Red Sox fan. The two have already spent many hours together over the course of their first few meetings. This visit is part family reunion, part family history lesson, part therapy session. Sean's parents and Kelly's mom are here. There are some tears and lots of laughter. And there's lots of talk about how Nikki and Kelly found each other a few years ago. They were both registered on various ancestry and donor sibling websites. Kelly had had a bunch of DNA tests done. Then Nikki got her DNA tested through one of the sites. She was stunned when she received an email saying her DNA had matched with about 900 people. Most of them were third cousins or fifth cousins.
I realized that I could sort by percent shared of genetic information, and it immediately refreshed with Kelly Best as my half-sibling. It popped up and said, half-sister. And I was like, oh, look at that, I have a... What?
Once the sisters connected with each other, the race to find their biological father picked up steam. The sisters say they weren't looking for a father. They loved their dads. But they wanted to know where they came from. They wanted the sperm donor to know who they were. Kelly Best wrote to the still unidentified donor in a Facebook post this past December.
If I could say anything to you this holiday season, I would say thank you. Thank you for donating so that I could have life. It's been a pretty incredible life. I'd love to tell you all about the wonderful things I am doing with the life you selflessly gave me. I hope I would make you proud.
Then, just a few weeks later, she found out her DNA had matched with the closest cousin yet. She had already been drawing up a family tree based on other DNA matches and meetings with more distant relatives. She made contact with the new cousin, and suddenly the family tree led to Sean Bunn. A quick Google search revealed Sean was sick. Hundreds of friends and loved ones were now raising money to help him, the man who had helped so many.
I always looked with a sense of urgency when I looked because I could picture the donor in a hospital bed somewhere. And I was like, what if I stop looking and he dies the next month? Or what if I stop looking too soon? And then that was actually the situation. And that was the most painful part because there was all of this joy of, I finally found him and he's dying.
And when you hear him say something like, I think this is why I'm still here. What does that make you think and feel when you hear that?
It's heart-wrenching.
Again, Sean's other biological daughter, Nikki Elsie.
I'm so happy that he feels that way, and it really is a beautiful thing. And I'm so happy that he's still here.
Of all the things on the radar screen, this was not even a bleep.
For Sean's mom, Marion, what was on the radar screen were MRIs, chemotherapy infusions, and other doctor appointments for her son, keeping track of 31 pills he needs to take every day, helping him navigate his new world, not being able to read or drive or always speak clearly because of the damage done to his brain. Tough times, but there was also constant amazement that for the last year, every brain scan Sean underwent showed the remaining visible tumor was shrinking. And then for Marion, the news, she had two granddaughters.
You never hesitated to welcome them into your family and your lives.
No way. They're our family.
They're part of Sean.
You have that same outpouring of love that you never knew you were capable of, but it's there, and you just, you know, it's just such an experience.
A paternity test has since confirmed to 99.997% certainty that Sean is Kelly's father, and thereby Nikki's.
If life would have given me a bad break and cancer had gotten me before, I would have missed this. And that would have been just horrible. It would have been crushing. I'm so happy that at the end of the day, we can say, how lucky were we to deal with this at the right time?
Glioblastoma is not believed to be hereditary in most cases. Sean's father, Ben Bunn, tells Kelly and Nikki they've given Sean new purpose.
Watching him come back to life for a father who's thought about the possibility that my son may not be around, he may predecease me, that's been huge for me. And so I just want to thank you guys for letting us share the lives that you have and tell you how much new life and new energy and new happiness and new joy that all that has brought to us.
I just stand in awe at the miracle that we're all able to be in the same room together right now and be like this little hodgepodge family.
Kelly and Nikki have pointed out to Sean and his parents that that family could grow. There could be more biological children out there as a result of Sean's sperm donations. His parents say they'd welcome that news. More grandchildren, more pieces of their son to carry on. Sean's most recent brain MRI came up neat. That means no evidence of active tumor. Incredible news for a glioblastoma patient. He says if any more biological children find him, he has plenty more love to give for as long as he's able. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Lynn Joliker.